Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, Dr. Tan, with I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, Tana Ministries. I hope that you have had a blessed Wednesday. And I just want to come on tonight to just give you a few inspirational nuggets to carry you through the week. Tonight's podcast will be entitled, Lead Like Jesus, Be the Example. Again, tonight's podcast will be entitled, Lead Like Jesus, Be the Example. First and foremost, I want to just talk about what leadership is. And so, you know, if we were to define leadership would simply be defined as the ability to guide others toward a accomplished task or goal. Okay. And then when we think about leadership, we often think about people in certain positions of influence, certain titles. But we have to understand that you can be a leader and be a janitor. You can be a leader and you could be a student in the class. Leadership is not synonymous to titles and positions, even though the worldly influence will make the worldly influence and mindset will make you think that leadership is all about titles, positions, rank, but that's not true. So do we look at titles, positions, rank when we talk about leadership in the worldly aspect? Yes. But when we're talking about it from a spiritual aspect, leadership is not synonymous to titles and positions. Leadership is all about character. And it does affect you in the natural realm when you're looking at how people view you as a leader, whether you're holding a position, an office, or not. People can see the type of leader you are if you're in those positions, and they can also see the type of leader you will be based on your character. And so I want to get into what we often see when you talk about leadership, what it entails. So leadership involves influence. It involves guidance, vision, inspiration, collaboration, motivation, growth, and commitment. And those just a few components that leadership involves or that it encompasses. And so I'm going to go back and put some scriptures to that here in a moment, but I just wanted to go through and first get started. And so, you know, we think about leadership. And a true leader is a servant first, and they're not doing it for show. So when you think about servant leadership, that's what leadership really is. Like I can, you know, a servant leader is a person that can serve first. They don't have to be in the limelight. They don't have to be seen. They don't have to be given accolades or praised every day. They're serving others and being the example of what leadership should be. A leader should build others up, empower them, motivate them. It should make the organization, the area, because not just, it's not only for businesses, organizations, companies, at your workplace. You can, leadership is also embedded in your churches and other organizations outside of work. You also have leadership in the home. So guess what? Lead any leader, wherever capacity that you're serving as a leader or looked upon as a leader, then those key components are very important. Influence, guidance, vision, inspiration, collaboration, motivation, growth, and commitment. And you got to be willing to serve. But the problem we face today is that so many in leadership and positions of influence and high-ranking offices, etc., have allowed the popularity of likes to override the importance of righteousness. They've done this for personal gain, inflated egos, and it overrides the servant leadership. People want to be seen instead of allowing Christ to lead. And so that's a problem. And let me tell you why that is a problem. When you think about leadership, you think about righteousness. And it's very important. It's a very key important. It's a very important part of leadership. Now, I want to read Proverbs 10 and 9, and I'm going to read it in the NLT version and the KJV version. And I might read it in the Message Bible version, but the NLT version, Proverbs 10 and 9 says, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. People with integrity walk safely. In other words, integrity is I can do the right thing even when nobody is watching. I don't have to act right because the spotlight is on me. I can act right even in private. That's what integrity is. I don't need anybody to have to tell me to do what I know that is right. The KJV version reads, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverted his ways shall be known. And then I'm going to go ahead and read the Message version, Bible version, and it says, honesty lives confident and carefree, but shifty is sure to be exposed. So here we are. Leadership. The key component is integrity. Out of all the things that I've listed prior to integrity, influence, guidance, vision, inspiration, collaboration, motivation, growth, commitment, integrity is the foundation. You have to have integrity. How do you have it? Well, guess what? Well, I don't want to say it's the foundation, but it's the key component, because your foundation is Christ. And if your life is built on Christ, then those things will align. You will have integrity. You will have a godly influence. You will have godly guidance. You will have a vision that is given to you that is inspired by God. You will collaborate with godly wisdom. You will motivate others in the things of the Lord. You will have a growth mindset that is spiritually aligned. And your commitment to the Lord will ensure that you're committed to his people and his will for your life and theirs, their purpose, the purpose that we all of us have a purpose. It's very important. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Sometimes leadership positions, influence to be known, to be seen, to be with the in crowd, makes people react differently. They start to shift in their behavior because now they have to kind of connect with a certain group in order to get what they want. You know, there are times that people say, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I'm here to tell you that you can know everybody in the world, but if you don't know the Lord, your plans will not work. People can only get you so far, but only God can take you all the way. So you got to remember that, you know, you're trying to connect. You know, it's nothing wrong with networking. There's nothing wrong with networking and meeting different people and surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Nothing wrong with that. But don't let the networking of people override your connection to the main source. God is the source. And if he says it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. Doesn't matter who you connected to, God is in full control. It doesn't matter how much money you got, how many friends you got, what organization you belong to. If God says it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. He is in full control. And so what we have to understand is that it's nothing wrong with the networking, but we got to make sure that we're connected to the power source, that we seek him in all that we do, and that we're not relying on people to get us places that only God can put us there and sustain us. Because, you know, the enemy can allow you to get some places, but you won't be able to stay there because it was not aligned according to the plan that God had for your life. We talked about this one time before. I talked about this one time before in my podcast, and I mentioned that, you know, everything that is good is not of God. You could be offered a job to relocate. Could be paying you great money. It's nothing wrong with that, but that don't mean that it's a God thing. And that's why he tells you to pray without ceasing, because that particular move could cause you more heartache than where you already are. But if you're not consulting God in all that you do, you wouldn't know that. And so let's say that you moved to the job and you found out that now you in a situation that was worse than what you left. So you have to understand that the enemy can present things that look good too. It appears good as well, but it's not of God. And so you have to be mindful to seek him in all you do. Proverbs 11 and 14, I want to read that in the Message Bible, then I'm going to continue to go on so I can get to the message. Proverbs 11 and 14, the Message Bible says, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. What wiser counsel than following the Lord? Can't beat it. So let's talk about these different components of leadership. When you think about influence, you know, you can have good or bad influence. And you want to make sure that the company you keep is that of good influence, because it's very important. And so when I think about influence, the scripture that comes to mind is Proverbs 13 and 20. And it reads, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And if you go on to 21, and I'm reading from KJV version, it says, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. I'm going to go on to 22 because I'm reading and I see that it even says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So understand that everything that is not of God, everything that is negative, wicked, evil, it shall not work. So when I think of influence, I think of Proverbs 13 and 20. Make sure that you're walking with wise men that are following Christ. Guidance. Think about guidance. You want a godly influence. You know, I think about guidance and, you know, so many times people are so loyal to people because of certain positions that they hold, or they're loyal to you, to them because of whatever connection they have or relationship bond, however that was formed, and they're loyal to them to a fault. And even when they're wrong, well, that's not being a true friend or someone that, if you, you know, you should be able to correct, to let them know, hey, this is, I don't believe that this is right. To be able to correct them in love, because if you're going along with them doing wrong, then you're just as guilty as they are. If you never say anything, you just let them do it. Matthew 15 and 14 says, the blind leading the blind, they both should fall in the ditch. That's why you got to lead like Jesus and be the example. And in order to be the example and lead like Jesus, you got to let Jesus be your guide. He has to order your steps. Scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You got to be a follower of Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. Vision. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back. I didn't even read guidance. Guidance 58, Isaiah 58 and 11 is that scripture, and I apologize. And it reads, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. In other words, you will lack nothing if you let God order your steps, if you allow him to be your guide. Vision. Very powerful component. When I think about vision, I think about the scripture from Proverbs 29 and 18. And it reads, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to be lost. You got a lot of people following others that are lost. They have no vision. Their vision is self-gratification. Their vision is selfishness, egotisticalness. That's their vision. It's not rooted in empowerment for everyone. Because to be a leader means that you think more of others than you do yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't take care of yourself. That just means that your whole goal is to empower others. You're not looking to gain self-gratification first. Your goal is to empower them. You've been, anybody that's in a position of influence, of leadership, whether it's on a job or at home or in an organization, God has entrusted you in that position to empower his people, to be an example. But sometimes we get in positions and we change. Or maybe we didn't necessarily change, whatever was in us just comes out. Scripture says what's in the heart will soon show up. So you can't, you know, another saying is what's, you know, done in the dark will come to light. You know, it'll show up after a while. Your character will reveal itself, who you are. You can tell a person all day, but they can see for themselves who you really are. And so sometimes people can fly under the radar until they are put in a certain position where their character is exposed for who they really are. And just because they possess a position, a title, does not make them a leader. What makes you a leader is your character. The next component is inspiration. And so, you know, I had two scriptures that I chose for inspiration because, you know, I wanted to remind us that all of our inspiration should come from God. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, which means that it doesn't matter what you're up against. You can do all things. It didn't say some. It didn't say a few. It didn't say the things for tomorrow. It said all things. Underline the word all. But that means you have to include them in your plan. And then I want to highlight 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. And this is for the component inspiration. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 reads, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. In other words, guess what we're supposed to do? Edify one another. We're supposed to lift each other up, not tear each other down. Work together in unison, in harmony, in peace. Collaboration. Let's look at Psalms 133 and 1. Psalms 133 and 1. And it reads, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, that's all of us, all of God's children, to dwell together in unity. Problem is, division comes in because the enemy is on assignment. And he has people on assignment. And they don't even know it. So I, you know, you hear a lot when they say, people say, you know, depending on which spirit you feed is the one that's going to dominate. One you love and one you hate. You can't serve two masters. That's in the Bible. Scripture says you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. So whichever spirit you feed on a daily basis is going to be the spirit that shows up most of the time. If you're sowing discord, confusion, hatred, envy, jealousy, negativity, then that's the spirit that's going to show up most of the time because that's what you feed. But if you're sowing to the spirit, if you're sowing love, peace, joy, understanding, collaboration, all those positive things, then that's the spirit that's going to show up most of the time because that's the one you feed. It's kind of hard, you know, to be something that you aren't. You know, we do have a lot of people in the world that are wolves in sheep clothing. You can't look at somebody and tell what type of spirit they're operating in because some people can look well. They can dress up very well. They can even come to church and sit and listen to everything and say amen to this and amen to that, but their character speaks for them. Scripture says men should be known by their fruit. That's your character. We did inspiration. We did collaboration. Motivation. And so I'm teaching a little bit before I get into the meat of the inspirational nugget that I want to leave tonight. Motivation. You know, we have to be motivated sometimes to or encouraged to stay the course, because it gets hard sometimes. We have to be mindful that we're fighting a good fight of faith. And so when it comes to motivation, the scripture I chose was 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. And it reads, well, let me go back to 12. It says, for the administration of service not only supplied the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And so what this was talking about was God gives encouragement, motivation. I'm going to go back to 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says, every man according to as he's purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He's motivating you to say, hey, listen, do what I need you to do. And I'll make grace abound to you in every good work. He's blessed you with unspeakable blessings, abundance. That should motivate you to know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Growth. You know, it's one thing to grow physically, but it's another thing to grow spiritually. And you know, we know that we have grown from infants, you know, to toddlers, and you just go on up to adulthood, all those different stages or phases of our life. But even with that, we should be spiritually growing as well. We shouldn't be the same person we were yesterday, spiritually, or last year that we are this year. It should be some evidence of growth. Our trials and tribulations come to grow us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to improve us, to purge us of things that are not of Christ. We all are a work in progress. Nobody has arrived. And so we should be better today than we were yesterday. That's my motto, to strive to do better, to be better. But oftentimes, people can be physically one age, but spiritually younger. In other words, your age has nothing to do with being saved. Let me say that again, because, and in a different way, just because you might be 60, 70, 50 years old doesn't mean that spiritually you have matured. You got a lot of people that are not spiritually mature. Scripture says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I did childish things, but when I became grown or when I matured, I put away childish things. And so you got a lot of people that have not develop that concept. They're older physically, but they're younger spiritually. And so when I think about growth, I think about 1 Peter 2 and 2. And it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. In other words, the only way that you can grow in spiritual wisdom is to study the word and make Jesus the Lord of your life. You can't grow without it. There's no way you're going to grow spiritually if he's not the head of your life and you don't study the word. The word is your weapon. And it's not something that you can repeat. You know, you can hear people saying scriptures and you quote it. And a lot of times people are quoting them out of context because they haven't studied to show themselves approved, as Timothy says. They're just repeating what they heard. A lot of things that we do is generational traditions, passed down from generation to generation. And we never took the time to really study to see why it was done. We just do it just because it's been done for so many years. But sometimes tradition is not always relevant in the season that maybe God has you in. Sometimes he wants you to embrace change. And in order to know that we need to embrace change or to allow new things to spring forth, as Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, all things are old, all things are passed away. Sometimes there should be a shifting that's taking place. Doesn't mean that you change the message, you just change the method. But in order to know that the shift needs to take place, you have to have spiritual wisdom. You have to have growth. A growth mindset. You can't have a fixed mindset and you don't embrace change, and nobody can tell you anything in your way or the highway, and nobody else is right. And you got to want to put yourself on this pedestal just to say that you are in control or you're in charge. But really and truly, none of us are in control. I said it earlier, God is in full control of all things and everything, and that includes us. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything belongs to him. Last component is commitment. And I can tell you this. If a person is not committed to the Lord, they won't be committed to you. That's in business, personal relationships, whatever, friendships. Whatever it is, if the Lord is not the head of their life, you can hang it up. How do you expect for them to be loyal or faithful to you when they're not faithful to our Lord and Savior? That's not going to happen. So if you want to measure commitment of a person, look at their faith walk. Commitment, Proverbs 16:3. And it reads, commit thou works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, 4 says, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Let me say that again. The Lord hath made all things for himself. So let's just say, I've read Proverbs 16:3-4. Let me read it again. And this is for commitment. Commit thy works unto the Lord. In other words, do everything that you, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. And thy thoughts should be established. The Lord hath made all things, not some, not part of them, all things for himself. In other words, he made us for himself, for his purpose, for his will, not for ours. So we can make plans that, you know, Bible says, you know, you shouldn't make plans without including the Lord. You should say, if the Lord's will. Because, you know, you can plan out 2 years from now, but you don't know what's going to happen between now and 2 years. Really don't know what's going to happen between now and the next minute. He says, it is proper to say, if the Lord's will. I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord's will. Because at the end of the day, 4 says the Lord has made all things for himself. And so those components, influence, guidance, vision, inspiration, collaboration, motivation, growth, and commitment are important. And this leads me to the topic or not necessarily the topic, but this leads me to a person in the Bible. I want to mention Esther. She showed great commitment to her people. She was willing to sacrifice her life to save her people. And in order to be fully committed, you have to have self-reflection and a willingness to change. In other words, you got to be accountable to self. You got to be willing to change those things or to work on these things. Ask God to help you with those things that are not like him, so that you can be fully committed to him. And that doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it should be faith in progress or faith in action. Yeah, you know, faith is an action word. It's not something you talk about. It's something that is shown. It says faith without works is dead. In other words, you can't just sit on the couch and talk about faith. You got to put it into practice. You got to work your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. So if you're thinking that he's going to move based on your tears, then you'll be waiting a while because he moves by your faith. Not by your emotions. And because he doesn't move based on our emotions, he doesn't expect us to be moved by ours. Our emotions are fleeting. They fluctuate back and forth. They're not trustworthy because it only captures a moment in time, how we feel at that particular moment. It's fluid. It's not permanent. We could feel this way now, and 15 minutes later, we could feel better. Or we could feel great now, and 20 minutes later, we could be sad or depressed or whatever emotion. So we have to be mindful of that because our emotions are fluid. It's based on what is happening at that moment. And we can't base our reactions, our decisions that we make on emotions. We have to base it on facts. And the facts about it is the word of God. When you stand on that sure foundation, he says, you can do all things through Christ because you've included him in your plan and it's going to work. But let's go ahead as I get ready to wrap up. Esther. And the reason why I want to bring up the book of Esther, because it's one particular person in the Bible, in this particular book, in this story. His name was Haman. And let me tell you about him for just a moment. Haman was a Persian court official. He was under the leadership of King Xerxes. Okay. And he couldn't stand Mordecai. Now, Mordecai was Esther's uncle. Esther was an orphan, and he was raising her. And so he didn't like Mordecai because Mordecai refused to bow down to him. And you got some people that when they get in these positions, they try to make it hard for you. They were trying to throw their weight around. And we're going to hear about what happened with Haman, because this is going to be some reassurance for you that if you got someone that is in a position, a title, office, that are abusing their authority, even at home, whatever that position, leadership position is, whatever your role is, because it doesn't have to necessarily be a leadership position. It could be a role where you are a leader. You don't have to be at the, you got different compartments and departments of leadership. There's a hierarchy. So in whatever capacity that you serve and you are a leader, maybe you are over one or two people. Or maybe you got 5 people or 10, but maybe you're still not the top leader. You have someone that you report to. So however it is, even in these organizations. So just listen to what I'm saying. If you're facing that, when somebody is abusing their authority, their power, because they feel like they can do it because they are the leader, the boss, they are the top dog, whatever that terminology is, whatever they use. Let me tell you something. Nobody is higher than God. Scripture tells us that everybody will reap what they sow. But there again, that shows that person's character. And it kind of just tells you which spirit they feed on a daily basis too. So Haman was mad because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him and do what he said. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't advocate that you be disrespectful to your leader or whoever is in position over you. I advocate that you can stand up for yourself and be respectful. And sometimes God is tell you to just be quiet because he's going to handle it. So you need to seek God before you respond. Always. Because sometimes God will say, be still and know. Psalms 46:10 says to be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes he'll just say you to be still and know. I got it. But it's going to happen in my due time. And if he's allowing it to happen, then he's growing you in the area. See, you got some people that's thinking that it's really affecting you, but it's helping you. It's going to be hurting them in the end because they got to reap what they've sown. But it's going to be helping you because God never allows us to go anything through anything that doesn't benefit us in the end. So even though that pressing is happening, it's pressing out our greatness. That's all it's doing. It's putting us in an uncomfortable position because we get complacent when we get comfortable. We don't strive as hard. We don't get on our knees as much when we get comfortable, when everything going well. You know, trials and tribulations keep us near the cross, keep us on our knees, keep us seeking God and reverencing him and praying to him, because that way we won't get beside ourselves and think we don't need him. So it's not punishment, it's preparation. So Haman he wanted to kill all the Jews because he couldn't stand Mordecai. Now, and he wanted to destroy the entire Persian, all the Jews in the Persian Empire. That was his goal. Now, I'm grateful that Mordecai didn't bow down because he knew that God was his source. You don't have to be intimidated by intimidation, oppression. God said he's going to repay all evil. He got you. You don't have to bow down to it. Because if God be for you, Romans 8:31 says he's more than the world against you. And Haman convinced the king to issue a decree to destroy all the Jews. Now, the king represents all the people that, you know, you got friends or other people, not necessarily you, but maybe some people that don't like you or whatever issue they have with you, they got friends and they go gather all these people up to dislike you too based on what they said. False information is their side. You didn't even get an opportunity to speak about your part. And really those people that they gathered up has nothing to do with it. So that's the blind leading the blind. You going based off what somebody else told you, not realizing that Haman had a selfish motive. He didn't reveal it to the king. He just used his way of manipulating him to try to get what he wanted. But he forgot one thing. God is in full control. Now, what he didn't know is that God had a ram in the bush. And, you know, the king was looking for another wife. He had got rid of the other one. He exiled her. She had to go. And he was looking for a wife. They rounding up all these people. Mordecai said, you know, once she was selected as one of the people, he told her, do not reveal your identity. And she didn't. She was able to win the favor of the king. And because she won the favor of the king, Haman's plot was exposed. Her people were saved. And Haman reaped what he sowed. And he was hung by the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. They executed him. So the ditch he dug for Mordecai, he fell into himself. And so this is the thing. Everyone that's doing an evil work will be exposed. Darkness dissipates when the light comes on. And even though we're living in a dark world with so much evil and negativity, Jesus is still the Lord and Savior. And his light will reign over all. So we look at the fact that Haman plotted. And so I got a few examples before I close that I just want to talk about. You know, and this goes for leadership, because it doesn't have to necessarily be on your job. It could be in the household. We got some people that expect their children to act right in public, but they see their parents do wrong in private. Guess what the parents have to do? Lead by example. Because what happens, what is exposed in public is often allowed in private. Another example is leaders in positions that have their picks and cliques creating biasness in the workplace. And them same people that try to select certain people to do certain things and undermine others and have little side conversations and meetings and excluding other people when they should be meeting with everybody, but they don't. Them same people that they are giving all this privileged information are going to be the same ones that hang them. Look at Haman. Because what they're doing is showing those people that they can't be trusted. If you're doing it to them, then you might do it to me. But I'm going to stay close enough to you. That's what the people are saying. That's what people do. I'm going to go along with it because it ain't got none. You're not doing it to me, but I don't trust you either. Because if you do it to them, you'll do it to me. And so before you do it to me, I'm going to do it to you. And then those people that got all these clicks and picks, they are just shocked that they're betrayed. And you know what normally happens when... when they get betrayed, the person that they did wrong to, they got to run back and tell them. Ain't that something? You ever had somebody do you wrong, and then somebody do them wrong, they got to come. They have the audacity to come back and tell you about it. God sends them back. It heaps hot cold. They don't need nobody got to come and tell you, but God sent them back to let you know, see how I handled that. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. You ain't have to do nothing. He sends them back, and that right there just heaps hot coal over their head. You being nice to them. They can't understand it. Why are they being nice to me? Because of God in you. Because you understand that if you react the way they act, then you're going to cut your blessings off. It's not worth it. Another example is relationships that lack trust and honesty. You know, deceit is the reality now is wreaking havoc in many homes. And so the thing is, if you don't want someone to do it to you, then don't do it to them. You got to lead by example. You got to watch what you're doing and look for things that you can improve on. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Another example is some people love undermining others. You know, taking over, trying to take over, got to be in charge. Wanting temporary praise on a worldly stage. They want the position and title, but they don't want to put in the work. Guess what? Got to lead by example. Got a lot of that happening. A lot of times the conflict that people have with you is because they secretly admire you. And instead of hating on you, they could really be learning from you. But instead, they choose to dishonor you. But you don't have to worry about that, because remember Isaiah 54:17, the A and B clause says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that come up against you shall be condemned. Don't have to worry about it. You got some people that when you stand up for yourself, when you can't be moved, when you stand in on God's principles and his promise, they think you're hard to get along with, you're hard to deal with. Nah, you just not a pushover. You have Godfidence. In other words, confidence in God. And so let them label you a pushover. They just want to control you. And when people can't control you, they got to talk about you. But if you allow them to control you, they're going to still talk about you. They'll like you. They'll like you as long as you will do what they want you to do. When you're a pushover, when they can do, you do what they want you to do. They can control you. They'll like you as long as it benefits them. But all behind your back, they're talking about you. They're talking about how you cave in, that you can't stand firm. They have no respect for you because you don't respect yourself. You don't have the boundary. You don't stand on the word. You can't stand firm. You're double-minded. And they know it. And they use it to their advantage because they know that not you as a person, but a lot of people would rather be liked over respected. And so my motto is, you don't have to like me, but you're going to respect me because everybody ain't going to like you. Truth about it, you don't like everybody. And that's fine because everybody is different. We have different ways of looking at things, and that's fine. Jesus walked the earth and he wasn't liked by everybody, but everybody, whether they like him or not, even today, whether they believe him or not, scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue gonna confess. So they're going to respect the fact that he is who he is and he is the great I am, whether they like it or not. You got some people to look down on other people that may be working like lower end jobs and think it's funny, or they got this house and they got this car and they got this and they think it's funny talking about people. Let me tell you something. The only surety in your job, there is no surety in your job. A job is just a job. There's no security in it. You can have a job today. It could be paying you six figures, seven figures, eight figures, and tomorrow you could be broke without a job. The only surety is in the Lord. There's no security in your job. So instead of looking down on people that are less fortunate than you, pray for them, encourage them, lift them up. Don't talk about them. We're not exempt. Could be them today and us tomorrow. Who you are shines through regardless of if you are the janitor or the CEO. The title don't make you. But lack of integrity, compassion, and humility will break you. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 16 and 18, I believe, that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. A lot of people got so much pride. They think they ain't arrived. They got the nose up in the air, mistreating people, treating people different. Before they got where they are now, they were humble, down to earth. And they done got a little bit of something. Now they act in a whole different way. Don't forget where you came from. Look at Esther, an orphan that God promoted to a queen. God can lift you up and elevate you just like that. Look at Joseph. Took him from the pit to the palace. Your position doesn't make you. God does. Your character determines how far you go. Where you are right now is not an indication of where you'll end up. Your faith in God determines your destiny. And don't you think for one minute that people that are operating out of selfishness, egotisticalness, biasness, haughtiness, and foolishness will win? It has been written and proven time and time again that God will make your enemies your footsteps, your footstool, I'm sorry. So don't get mad at them. You need to pray for them. Maybe they don't know God personally like you do. So you are just seeing the evidence of their fruit. And don't let that sway how you act. Don't act like them. It gets hard sometimes, but you can do it. You got it. Let go and let God, and watch how God brings you out a winner. Matthew 7 and 21 tells us that not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. I'm here to tell you tonight that there are many on assignment for the enemy. You can't look at them and tell, but their fruit bears witness. You can't change them with your talks, your words, your frustrations, etc. Only their acknowledgement of the Savior and his will change their behavior. So I tell you tonight to stay focused. Stay focused on growing in the Lord and in the Word, doing the mighty work. And the will of God will show up as good fruit. The enemy is after your destiny. And he is using people to do so that are on assignment for him. People that are more concerned with their fleshly desires that are in the world, instead of those that are focused on righteousness. John 10:10 tells us that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he comes to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. We have to understand that spiritual weakness is in high places. And that's what we're battling. Talks about it in Ephesians. And we have to also be mindful to not to let anyone convince us to hate on someone when we don't have anything to do with it. We don't support mess. We promote righteousness. Because at the end of the day, we all will be held accountable for our actions. Don't get your blessings cut off for being in other people's business and trying to fix their problems. Stay in your lane and stay safe. And then you'll hear one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that you have been blessed by this word. And I pray that you can take this with you and not allow anyone to break your peace. Lead like Jesus. Be the example. And may God continue to bless, keep, guide, and direct you all the days of your life. Until we speak again, God bless and be encouraged.
No, stand up who you are. You gotta stand right there. Makes no difference what you've done. It don't matter. Still, you gotta. You gotta stand there. I'm talking about everybody. Everybody's gotta stand right there. I know I'm right about it, but you see, I don't know about you. I'm talking about me. On that day when you stand before that judge, I don't know about you, but they tell me they're gonna open one book. Stand there. And it's called the Book of Life. Your name must be written down in the Book of Life. Not only that, tell me there's a second book. And this book is called your record book. And I don't know about you, when they begin to read my record, I want to hear when they tell me, server, your record read here. Sometimes you got time along the way, but you didn't stop right there. You kept on. And then I want to hear him tell me, server, your record read right here. Friend walked off and left you. Enemy was on your trail, but you didn't stop there. I wanna hear say, server, your record read right here. Sometimes he's got a high, valley's got a low. Server, server, your record read right here. Sometimes you were made to cry, had to stand alone sometimes, but that's all right. Servant, servant, come on in. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up higher, come on up a little higher. Gonna make you rule over many. I don't know about you, but makes no difference who you are or where.